and we'll get it on. Amen. Yeah. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness, engrafted, word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Amen. So, again, we're talking about doers of the word. Now, our key verses today will be verses 23 and verse 24. Now, these two verses are very powerful. They're very powerful. Verse 23 and verse 24 is going to be very powerful. Amen. And we're going to reach into those verses and see exactly what they're yielding to us. Because I'm telling you, these verses are very powerful. Now, what makes them powerful is the fact that they reveal to us the consequences of just being a hearer and not a doer of the word. Got it? See, that's what they reveal. They reveal the consequences of being a hearer but not a doer of the word. Now, keep in mind that doing the word is a choice. Matter of fact, we can be bold enough to tell you that it's your choice. Doing the word is a choice. You make the choice to do the word or not to do it. That's always your choice. Amen. Now, you may not be aware of the fact that it is a choice, but I'm trying to help you today to get it into your consciousness that being a doer of the word is your choice. Amen. You have the freedom of choice when it comes to being a doer of the word. It is strictly your choice. There is no forced issue there at all. Nobody can force you to do the word. Not even God himself. Amen. It's like he's left the ball in your court, whether you're going to do it or not. But one thing I like about the word of God, if you look at it and you study it, it never leaves you ignorant. One way or the other. Amen. But now, the problem that we face, even when we read the word of God, hear it taught or preached, we don't tend to it enough so that it can get into our consciousness. Even though we hear the truth and sometimes can even see it, but in our everyday living, we're not aware of it. Amen. So if you're not aware of anything, of any given thing, if you're not aware of it, you can't attend to it. You only attend to the things that you are aware of. So I hear the word. I even know the word. But you see, it doesn't live in my consciousness. Now, the only reason for that is the fact that it hasn't gotten into the heart yet. Once it gets in the heart, it lives in the consciousness. So I'll have consciousness of it. I hear the word. I hear it. Yes, I hear it. Believe it's true. Admit it. Admit to the fact that it's true. But I don't live in that truth. Not because I don't want to. I just haven't done the things that I need to do to have the awareness of it in my life. As I live my life. I don't think there's anybody who come to church every week and don't want to do right. That's crazy. You could be doing a dozen other things. Am I right? You don't come here and sit down and look and listen at me just to do it. I mean, you really want something. But how to get it is what we do. From week to week, we're trying to show you how to get it. But even after showing you how to get it, there's still the challenge of getting it. See, it's going to do you good. Good things don't come easy. So there's a little fight in that issue. And the fight is only faith. See, there's a little fight in it. Amen. And you don't fight for nothing that your heart's not in yet. We hear the word, but our heart's not in that yet. I keep trying to tell you, nothing is automatic. If it was, we'll all be where we need to be and be doing everything we need to be doing. But it's not automatic. There's a process to it. Even the bad things in life, there's a process to it. The good things in life, there's a process to it. Am I willing to work the process? Now, the bad things, the process, working that process is easy. Why? Because we were born with a sin nature. And even though now we don't have that sin nature anymore, we still have the fruit of the deeds of that nature embedded into our consciousness. And that's why Paul tells us, he says, now look, brethren, you're going to have to renew your mind. Because, see, those things are still embedded into our consciousness, in our minds. Amen. And we haven't learned to live by our hearts yet. So if we're not living by our hearts, certainly we're living by our minds. And what we think and feel rule, have the control. But somewhere we're going to come to a place where what we think and feel, they're not going to have the control anymore. The dominant thing is going to be the word of God, because we're going to put it in our hearts. Not just hear it, we're going to put it in our hearts. Amen. Now, let's see where we were. Let me make the statement again. Keep in mind that doing the word is your choice. You make the choice to do the word or not to do it. And making choices or making decisions will always yield consequences. Anytime you make a choice, what the date is? 14. 14, you're gonna make so many choices in this day. You're going to make them all through today. But here's the thing that you're not going to be aware of, even though you're making the choices, you're not aware that you're making choices. This is, you know, we say this is just the way I live. No, everything basically that you do, you do it from a choice or a decision. You make a decision to do something, or you make a decision not to. God has given you that right. See, we make decisions. We make choices every day. Amen. And some of those choices and some of those decisions benefit us. And then on the other hand, a lot of them don't. One can outweigh the other. Amen. Now, there's never a time that a choice or a decision won't yield consequences. It's never a choice. I mean, there's never a time. Amen. It seems to work like this. Good choices or good decision yield good consequences. Bad choices or bad decisions yield bad consequences. It's simple, isn't it? Simple, isn't it? But we don't use all of the giftings that God has given us. God has given each and every one of us discernment. Amen. But discernment is sharpened. Your discernment is sharpened by you doing the Word of God. So if you don't really get into doing the Word of God, your discernment, you have it, but there's a possibility of it being off. Hallelujah. Now, what are the actual consequences of verse 24? Let's read verse 24. So we can see the consequences in verse 24. Are you ready? Let's look at it. For he beholdeth himself. Yeah, that's right. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. Now listen. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now we're looking at the consequences of just being a hearer and not a doer. Keep that in mind. Amen. Now, notice the word forget it. That's a very powerful word there in verse 24. The word implies, now listen at this, to lose out of the mind. By neglect. Now keep in context as to what we're talking about. Don't lose that, because if you lose that, you can't catch the picture here. Now listen. We're talking about the consequences of just being a hearer but not a doer of the word. Now, this word, forget it, is a very interesting word because it reveals so much here. Now, I'm going to tell you what it means again. Are you ready for it? Okay, here we go. The word implies to lose out of the mind by neglect. To lose, let's just deal with this part. To lose out of the mind. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, now, if I'm just a hearer of the word and not a doer, I'm going to lose it out of my consciousness. Now, what is that saying? That's saying this. I've sat down, I've heard the word, and said, yes, amen, hallelujah. Ooh, that's good. But if I don't practice it, all of that, amen, that's good. Whoo, man, that was deep. I lose it out of my mind. Now, when I looked this thing up, it said to lose out of the mind by neglect. To lose out of the mind, now listen, by neglect. I don't know about you, but it seems to me anything you neglect, you probably going to lose it. That's anything. Neglect your wife and see what happens. Neglect your husband. See what happens. It seems to me the results of neglect is loss. You lose. Now, to neglect something actually means to ignore or to disregard it. To ignore or disregard it. Now, this is on a personal basis. You don't have to answer. I'm going to answer your question. Do you neglect the word? You say, okay, Pastor, how can I neglect the word? What is that, neglecting the word? Okay. When you hear it and don't do it, it's called neglect. You see, I ignore the word, especially when I'm under pressure. Situations and circumstances. See, I ignore the word. Then what do I give attention to? Now, I know y'all don't like me to say this when I'm saying it. We give more attention to how we feel about it. So what people supposed to feel stuff. I agree. But in certain situations, your feelings won't help you. You're looking to resolve the situation, not feed it. Am I right or wrong? Am I right? So if I feed the situation, guess what it becomes? It becomes worse. We turn simple things into some serious things. It should have never got to that point. But if I was a doer of the word, it never would have got to that point. Neglect. It means to neglect, to ignore. Other words, to fail to attend to properly. Talking about the word of God. Now, I'm going to say something to you. You may not believe it. This is for all of us. Not just you. For me too. See. Listen. If you paid attention to the word, more than likely, you wouldn't be sick. Neglect of the word brings us into all kinds of things. Now, here's one thing you don't realize. The word even teach us how to eat. A lot of the family problems that you guys now face, if you did not neglect the word, you wouldn't probably you wouldn't even be facing those problems. Most of the situations in your life that you're dealing with now, more than likely, you're dealing with those situations because there's a neglect to the Word of God. You neglect to do it, to practice it in the face of adversity, situations, and circumstances. See, I failed. It was like I didn't even know it. Now, I know none of you have never been in that situation, huh? Have you ever had a situation in your life? Amen. That you knew to stand on the word and you didn't? I think all of us have had that situation working in our lives, see? It's pure neglect. Amen. I knew what to do, but I didn't feel like doing it. I didn't want to do that. Then who's to blame? The devil. No, You know better than that. I told Eva, boy, the devil get blamed for stuff he ain't know about. Huh? I guess the devil stand up and say, huh? What did that? He said, get on assignment. Because she think I'm doing her something, do her something. But the devil don't bother with most of y'all. Because, listen, that won't bother you till you do on the word. There ain't no need to bother you if you're not doing the word. Because you're going to self-destruct. See, your biggest problem is coming from the lust of your flesh. That's where it's coming from. The lust of your flesh. See? Well, isn't the devil behind lust? Yeah, he planted that seed. But he don't water it. The watering of it comes from you. So if you don't water the seed, it won't even grow. Amen. Let me get back to what I was talking about. Now, here's the real consequence. Here's the real consequence. The consequences of being a doer, being a hearer of the word and not a doer, is the failure to receive the reality of the word. That's the consequence. See, there's a failure to receive the reality of it, of the word. See, it's a failure. See, you fail to receive the reality of the word. Now, if I don't receive the reality of it, I can't walk in it. And yet I admit it's true. Yet I admit it's right. I know the Bible is the word of God. I know the Bible is right. But you fail to walk in the reality of the Bible. See, I can't have reality of what God has said to me, what God has promised to me, without being a doer of the word. Now, here's what I'm going to make an announcement to the Christian Life Bible Church. God does not want you to come to heaven without having had the reality of what he said to you here. God wants to prove to you that he is God. And what he says, he means. Amen. So the person who just hears the word and doesn't do it never comes into the reality of the living word of God. Now here's what that means. Never come into the reality of the word, of the living word of God. They never come into the reality of it. You shouldn't want to be a church member all your life. You ought to want a relationship with the Lord. Now, here's what that means. Never coming into the reality. It means that a person can believe. Now, this is going to sound strange to you. A person can believe in God, but never come into the reality of God. Now, don't tell me you've never been there. Because all of us have been there. I gave my life to the Lord in the 70s, right? I gave my life to him in the 70s, right? By conviction of the Holy Spirit. But, Doc, long before I gave my life to the Lord, I believed in him. Come See, I believed in God. When I was drinking rum and coke, I believed in God. When I was smoking weed, I believed in God. And like we all say, running women. Ava said, that's just what you were doing, running them. When I was running women, you mean running them? You know what I'm saying? I believed in God. Amen. When I was a kid, man, a kid, when I was 12 years old, you know, jumped in a man yard, took all his pears. He had three German shepherds, God and his pears. I fed them for a month. And I could jump the fence and pet them. Get all the pears I want. They follow me around. If these boys were living, they can tell you I did it. And all of them told me I couldn't do it. But I did it. Amen. Every day I ate, I saved a little food for them. Now, I was stealing that man pears, but I still believed in God. Huh? Amen. See, a person can believe in God, but never come into the reality of the God he believes in. A person can believe God, but never come into the reality of the God he says he believes in. I didn't have no reality of God back then. Amen. Got saved and was saved for nearly 6 years or so and still didn't have no reality of God. I believed in God and I got saved on the basis of the fact that I believed. But I had no reality. God accepts us on the basis of what we believe first. But then it comes to a point he requires you to come into the reality of what you believe. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to aid us in coming into what we say we believe. Amen. Now, when you come into the reality of what you say you believe, your life changes drastically. All your convictions changes. Amen. And the people you used to have fun with, they said, man, you're not no fun anymore. You know why? I've come into the reality. Not that I don't have fun anymore. I just don't have that kind. Anybody understand what I'm saying? If you've been in Christ any length of time and you haven't found your life changing, it means because you haven't come into the reality of what you say you believe yet. Of course, it takes time to come into the reality of it, but you've got to march toward it. The first time that I started marching towards reality was the first time I picked up a book by Kenneth E. Hagin. And the book was called, I'll never forget it, The Thresholds of Faith. Now, I don't even know if that book is in print anymore. But you can probably call Raymond and get it. And the first time I picked that book up, I didn't grab a hardly anything. But something on the inside of me was pushing me to stay with that book. And 6 months into being in that book, I'll never forget these days, 6 months into being in that book, looked like a light was turned on in my life. Now, even when I didn't have the reality of God, I didn't live any kind of way. Amen. I had already lived that life, and I knew it wasn't working. Amen. So I had nowhere else to turn but to God. Because I already knew how that life worked. And y'all do too. Amen. But you hold on to it and hold on to it and hold on to it. For what? It yields the same thing. How many of you guys come from across the river? Most of y'all come from across the river? You know what happens? You learn your way here, right? Huh? Where you get off at? No, I didn't say born. Most of y'all were born across the river in that chariot at Hinesville, huh? But that's not what I'm talking about. Amen. If you live across the river, you coming from New Orleans East like the Miltons do, then they get on the I-10, right? And they get off whatever, Frontage Road. They might get on Frontage Road. Then they come down the expressway. Then they come down and they see 16 West Bank Expressway and they get here. Now, as long as you travel that route, you're going to get here. If you don't change that, you're going to always get here. The only way not to get here is to change that. That's how life is. You see, there are certain things you keep doing, but you already know what they yield.
That's right.
Nobody got to tell you that.
That's
what Paul was saying. I need to move. He told, I think it was in Hebrews, he told the church, he said, I need to move to some deeper things. I'm tired of dealing with y'all with these elementary things. Let's move from these elementary things. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? You see, if you're going to get different results, you got to do something different. What they say is insanity. Just keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting what? Different results? Y'all crazy. That's what I keep telling y'all, because some of y'all crazy. You get a boyfriend and you do the same thing with him and expect for different results. You get a girlfriend, do the same thing with her and expect different results. No, you have to do something different now. You didn't get the results last time. Every time you get a, this must be for somebody because none of this isn't here. Every time you get a different man, you get another man in your life. I'm talking to the ladies. You get another man in your life, but what you do? You travel the same road and wind up at the same place. Every time. You get a new woman in your life, travel the same road, and expect to come to a different location. You're crazy. That doesn't work. Amen. Keep doing the same thing. Now you want every man is Boaz. Some people ain't no Boaz. I can tell you what they both. And you know already too. But you don't, you know, you fighting loneliness and all kind of stuff you fighting. And so that's why y'all put up with a lot of neglect. Because you want to keep something that don't want to be kept by you. One of the first things that happens when you surrender your life to Jesus totally, you face reality. And then you come into the real reality. Come on, man. You know that man don't mean you no good. You already know that. You're trying to make it good. It might work. It ain't going to work. I'm negative, huh? You'll be hunting again before long. Year two, you'll be back out there again. Look, is this my Boaz? Everybody not no Boaz. Get that in your head. They're not, all of them not going to be no Boaz. And you not know Esther, huh? Who that is? Was that Esther? Who met Boaz? Ruth. You ain't no Ruth either. I don't have time to fool with that. Amen. Now, now listen. A person can say he believes in the fact that he is what he is in Christ. He can believe. He can say he believes. I believe that I'm this in Christ and I'm that in Christ. I can believe that I possess this in Christ and possess that in Christ, and never live in the reality of none of it. That's crushing, man. God has made promises to us. I receive. God has made promises to us, right? And we know that God can't lie, but we don't live in the reality of those promises. Amen. Man, I've been in this. They told me I better not say that. Well, I've been in this a long time. Long time. Now, if I've been in this as long as I've been in this and haven't had any reality, I need to give this up. Well, let me change that. I need to straighten up. Because it's not God's fault that I don't have reality of it. It's my fault. Now, here's what I want you to see. If you don't become a doer of the word, it's not possible to receive reality. The reality of this life that you're in. You're in Christ, so you have a good life, I'm telling you. But coming into the reality of it is something different. Now, I want to share this with you. It is the door of the word that comes into the reality of the word. The measure of reality that you have of God and his word is determined by the measure in which you do the word. You don't have no more reality than what you do where the word is concerned. You don't have no more reality than that. If you don't do the word, you don't have no reality. If you do a little of the word, you might have a little reality. Amen. Now, when you get right down to it, listen. Your biggest problem is the fact that you don't do the word. People not your biggest problem. Your biggest problem is the fact that you haven't disciplined yourself enough to do the word of God. Amen. I was sitting down with some preachers one night, and we were sitting down talking, and the question came up. Guy asked me, he said, Richardson, who've given you the most problems in your church? And I looked at him. And in the discussion we had, well, I got to be honest with you. I said, now this is dumb. In myself. I said to them. Because that wouldn't have been right, right? Some stuff you need to keep to yourself, right? Yeah. And I said, me. He said, what? Me. What? I said, I have given myself the most trouble. Nobody given me no trouble. I gave myself trouble. Guess what? Any man that's thinking he giving me trouble is really giving himself trouble. Even with your children, you say, oh, this boy is giving me so much trouble. Now, you got to go back and see how you raised him. You got to go back and see how you babied him. And all of us guilty.
Yeah, for real.
When you should have let them stood up on their own, you helped them. That's my baby. That's my baby. That's all you can say, huh? But here's what I'm saying. Nobody gives you as much trouble as you give yourself.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about some foolishness or some, what you call it, psychology and all that. No, this is reality. You the one give yourself the worst trouble. You. Huh? And you giving yourself trouble, trouble everybody else around you. You don't see that, do you? See, you give yourself the most trouble. And the people around you, they feel the effect of you being in trouble with yourself. Think about it. Think about it. Amen. I can't say Ava gave me any trouble. All the trouble I had was with me. And she was responding to the trouble that was in me. When the trouble got out of me, we had much peace. Of course, she had some trouble in her. But it wasn't troubling me. It was mostly troubling her. Now, I got the results of her being in trouble with herself. But guess what? The trouble was with her, not me. And sometimes that y'all all messed up about your relationship. But all of y'all need to take a checkup. Get a checkup. Check yourself up. Check on yourself. Find what you need to clean that up. And guess what? You'll start having a little peace. And then if one starts to get better, the other one can see it, and then they want to be better.
Right. So true.
Amen. Let me get a few more things here, and I'm going to let y'all go because I see y'all going already. How many of you understand what I just said? Amen, amen. Now, let me get to one more part here, and I want you to see this part. And then I'll move to something else. The depth of your relationship with the Lord is also determined by the same measure in which you do the work. The depth of your relationship with the Lord is determined by how you do the work. Now, everybody would like to think, and not everybody, but most people would like to think that they have a great relationship with the Lord. But now, how is that possible and you don't do nothing he tells you? I'm talking about from the standpoint of the word. How is that possible? That's not possible. Without doing the word, all you are having is a religious experience. But you don't actually have a good relationship with the Lord. Now, understand my language. If language means anything, and it does, you need to pay close attention to the language here. I didn't say you didn't have a relationship with the Lord, but you don't have a good one. Every man in Christ has a relationship with the Lord. But now, is it a good one?
Come on.
You see, is it a good one? Everybody got to think about that. Do I have a good relationship with the Lord? I mean, seriously, think about that. Do I have a good relationship with the Lord? Do I have a real good relationship with the Lord? Everybody has to think about that. You'd be surprised. But your relationship with the Lord can be measured by how you do the word. If you find yourself never acting on the word, then you don't have a good relationship with the Lord. You have one with him, but it's not a good one. Now, if the relationship is not good, then you don't reap no benefits. Benefits come from good relationship, not just a relationship. Y'all don't get that. See, benefits come from a good relationship. It doesn't come from just a relationship. Good relationship. See, See, that's what we're striving to have. And we have to strive to have that. Don't let anybody fool you. You don't just automatically have a good relationship with the Lord. All right. All right. Y'all want me to get off the subject, huh? Now, here's what I want you to see. Go to the book of Ephesians, 3:20.
Yes.
Amplified. Let's do it from the Amplified translation. I want you to see something here. My Lord. Now to him who, by inconsequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and to do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think. Infinitely, beyond our highest what? Prayer, desires, thoughts, hope, or dreams. Now, every verse that you find, and he talks about according to the power that works in us. The power of God does work in us, work within us. But only as we cooperate. Now, we read this verse and we quote it like it's an automatic issue. God is at work in us. Good confession. And we should make that confession. But you also need to understand that God works in us as we cooperate. Now, if I'm not cooperating with him, then there ain't no power working in me. It's there to work in me, but it's not. Got it? Why? Because, see, I need to cooperate with God. Now, what way can I cooperate with God? By doing what he says.
Own it. Thank you, Jesus. Stay on it.
Amen. So, if I'm not doing what he says, then I'm not cooperating with him. And if I'm not cooperating with him, his ability, his power within me doesn't have an opportunity to work. See, all this stuff works by our cooperation with the Lord. Let's say you had a little agency that gave out stuff to people who were in need, right? Now, one of the things that you're probably going to set up is the fact that you're going to need their name and some information. Now, see it in principle. What I'm talking about, I want you to see it in principle. Well, they would have to fill out your form, right? Before you can minister to them, right? But what happens if they don't? But you got all the goods that are ministered to them. No, just give it to them. It doesn't work like that. So when you're filling out the forms, you're cooperating. And then you can reap the rewards of cooperating, right? With it. So the same thing with the Lord. We say the power of God's going to work in us. The power of God is working in us. It does, and it can, and it will. But it takes our cooperation. The one thing that I've been trying to get over to you guys for a long time is that nothing happens automatically. You all know that by now. Because, see, a lot of things ain't came up yet. For you, that you know that should have been up, but it's not up yet. Why isn't it not up? I know most of you say to yourself, I should have been down the highway. I should have been further than this. Well, what's the hold up? God just holding me back. You lied. God's not holding you back. Who's holding you back? Who's holding you back? The devil, huh? You. See, You have to cooperate with God. And then all of the things that he says to you and about you, it all comes to pass. Now, there's another scripture. I don't have time to go to it. But it says, we are workers together with him. Did you catch that? We are, now listen at this word, workers. That means you and God does things together. One more time. We are, what it is? Together with him. Or with God. Now listen, you work with him. Now think about it. Are you working with him? How do I work with him? By doing what he says. All he asks you to do, your part is to just do what he says. That's my part. That's your part. To do what? What he says. But you know, we come to a place where we don't feel like it. Or we're not going to do anything that inconveniences us. Didn't I tell y'all crazy? You want something, but you don't want to do anything. See, that's the problem with legalism. You got to do God's grace prevail. You got to do something for grace. The Bible says we enter into grace by faith. Mm-hmm. Faith is work.
Yes, it is.
James told you that. He said, show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works.
Yeah.
What was the works of faith? Obedience. He think I'm jaff on me. In what world? Not surely not this one. You see, all my duty is to cooperate. And what is cooperating? Just doing what he says. That's not difficult. Well, it is difficult to some degree because a lot of the stuff that he asks you to do is against your will. Your will. But by your will, what have you accomplished? Come on, tell me, what have you accomplished by your will? What? Amen. We're living in serious times, so we have to become a serious people about the will of God. And all he asks us to do is to do what he says. And then he deliver everything he promised. God bless you. Amen. Oh, y'all work me today.